with me for just a moment. Stand up in honor of the Lord. Good gracious. Good gracious. Oh, go ahead and celebrate for just a moment. Celebrate just a moment. All right. Now listen. Listen just a second. Listen. Listen to the Lord. You know what you just sang? So be it. The King is coming. Do you realize you were singing that? In praise, you were singing, so be it. The King is coming. Amen. Hallelujah. So be it. Really, this is what we sing this morning. I want you to grasp this. So be it. The King has come. Jesus is here in our midst. He's here in a real way this morning. I just want to pray that we get this like we've never gotten it. Is that cool? Here's the prayer. Can y'all get with that prayer? We're going to get it like we've never gotten it. And we're really going to understand what God's called us to today. We're at a moment. God's honored that in worship. We're at a moment. And I want to pray because you know what? I've been at this moment before. And guess what? As the power of God surrounds this place, there are a few nasty little critters that want to get in. And you know what? We're going to have a movement because God wants to have a movement. In this time, I want you to hear from the pastor. I'm not listening. I need everybody to listen here because you'll be exactly the ones that get in the way. The ones that aren't listening right now be exactly the ones that get in the way. We're not stopping the bus and waiting for everybody to get their stuff in line. If we'll surrender it and give it to God, He'll get it in line for you. Amen? And so let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank You for this moment of worship. I thank You for a choir that has many different people from many different locations. God, I just ask Your forgiveness right now because right now some of us can't even listen. Right now, in this moment of worship, we are more concerned about what we got going on than what You've really called us to. We're more concerned about our traditions and our way than we are what You might call us to. And God, I do ask right now that You place those angels that remove garbage. You put them in front of this service today. And God, You let us see. Lord, I pray against traditions of mankind. I pray against, Father, of things that the church has done in the past. Lord, I pray that we do what You want us to do in this present moment. And only that, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray against the deceit and envy and jealousy and lies and craziness that can get wiped up in church. Lord, I pray right now that You give us ears to hear what You want to say to Hillview for this moment of time. And that we all listen and not interpret it our way, but listen to what You've absolutely said and then be willing to do it. How many of y'all be willing to just do what God said? Amen? All right, be seated. We're going to pray for this now. First of all, I want to start in John 10:10. I'm going to give you the state of this church. I think you've heard it today in worship. First of all, I want to thank every one of you for being here. I want to thank every one of you for being here. And I want you to note this. Every single living, breathing human being that steps into this church is important. Y'all got that? Everyone's important. Now, I want you to understand where we stand. I'm giving you the state of the church today. The state of this church. Okay, not the state of the whole church. That would take me 5 years. The state of Hillview Heights Church. And I want you to grab hold of this. Now, if you just kind of started hanging out with us, this is a great day to be here because you're absolutely going to find out what we're about. Okay. And it's probably not going to blow you away. We're not real complex here. We're not complex. And I want you to know, if you want a traditional church, it's been nice having you here today. Okay? I'm not going to be what we're not called to be. So some of y'all, don't even bring that junk to pastor this time. Don't even bring that across my desk. I don't want to know what the church did 50 years ago. I can read. Not well, but enough to know what the church did 50 years ago. That's not our mission today. Our mission today is to know what God's calling us to do in this moment of time and into the 21st century. We need to quit being a group of historians and we need to start being a group of people who are willing to become a part of God's history making. You see, Moses, when he was stopped by the Red Sea and pressured severely by the Egyptian army, Moses didn't go back to what God had done. Moses said, God, You need to do something now, and I would prefer quickly. And God parted the seas and there was deliverance. Here's the first thing we're about at Hillview. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He is the Savior of humanity. He was crucified on a cross. He's been risen from the grave. And He is capable of changing any human being, no matter what they've been into or where they come from. That is the center point of Hillview Heights Church. Somebody say, I got it! Come on, I got it! Now watch. For 16 years, we've made that the unshakable center post. Long time ago in my life now, I used to farm. And every time we put up a fence, we would spend more time setting that center post than we did the rest of the post. Because the farmer I worked with was an old wise farmer, and he'd always tell us, boys, if the big post ain't in line, all the little posts will always be out of line. I want to tell you today, I got good news. The big post was lined up in heaven. His name is Jesus. He is perfect. He is righteous. He is holy. He is the Son of God. He is the hope of Emmanuel. He is the great counselor. He is the everything. He is the beginning. He is the end. Do you got my point? God in Jesus has got it together. Now, what's the mission? For us to line up with the center post. To line up with the center post. First thing we got to do is John 10:10. For 16 years. I want you to know just a little bit of the history of this church. 30 people or so were here. Many of them are still in this room. Montreux, Holland, Gwen, thank you for hanging in there. Huh? Did you ever think this would happen? Not me either, so we're in good shape. You know what we were hoping to do when we started this church? Fill up the chapel once, weren't we, Don? If we got the chapel over there filled up once, we was having church, right? You know why? We were still limited to a Baptist vision back then. The time this church started, Chuck Swindoll, a noted preacher in this nation, had released a book, The Grace Explosion. Many of us read it, and we began to figure out, wait a minute, this is about grace. This isn't about condemning people. This isn't about trying to, in our own way, modify their behavior. It's really about loosing Jesus on people who feel like they have no hope. We've been doing that for 16 years. Now, I want to let you know, we're going to continue to do that as long as I'm your pastor till we die. Has everybody got that? So that means this at Hillview. All people are going to be welcome. All sorts of people are going to be welcome. They're going to be sinners in our church. We're a sinner's church. We're sinner's church. And all the other churches are sinners' church too. They're just better liars about it than we are. Okay? And I want to tell you, I think that's made Hillview have an edge and God's honored it. I think, first of all, you got to get honest about where you are to know where you need to go. That's called repentance. I've not done what God wanted me to do, but I've found hope in Jesus Christ that I can be what He's made me to be. That needs to ring and echo in here. A church, John 10:10, drives this church. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I want you to know something. We believe in a literal devil in this church. I've seen him more than once. He comes to church. He circulates. He does three things. He says the thief comes to steal. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, the devil is going to have no authority to steal the vision that we're fixing to tell you about. So don't listen to him. Watch this. Man, when we started 16 years ago, I had all kinds of religious people trying to steal what God wanted to do here. Steal it. 16 years ago. I'm just going to be straight up with you. I had pastors tell me, Ayers, this will never work. I had noted pastors telling me that I'd lost my career, which would be hard to do since I didn't have one. Chase Goff, don't you ever get a career in the ministry. If you get a career in the ministry, you'll never have the passion to preach the gospel. You'll kiss everybody to get to where you're going, and you'll end up being an old man with big lips. That's all that'll get you. God hadn't called people to be kissing around, pleasing people in the church. He's raised up men and women in the church to preach the Word of God uncompromisingly, that the cross is the avenue for forgiveness, the resurrection is the absolute power, there is an anointing, a baptism, an encouragement, an inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It is not removed from the body of Christ, and the full power of God is made possible in the 21st century just like it was in the first century. And God wants to release that in our church. He says the thief comes to steal. Don't let the thief steal from you. The thief comes to kill. The thief wants to kill things in your life. He wants to kill your hope, kill your dreams, kill who you are. He does not have power to do that. And the third thing, he wants to destroy. The thief about had this church destroyed. But Jesus said, wait a minute, I got enough people believing that I can do a great thing. I want you to know the history of this church. It doesn't take a lot of people to do a great thing. You know what changed my life and has changed my life for 16 years is this one truth. It does not take a majority to get things done. That's where America lied to me. That's where democracy became a big lie. Democracy says if 51% of the people agree about it, it's true. That's a bunch of baloney. I found that 51% of the people can be absolutely clueless. And you just got a bunch of dumb people together heading the wrong direction. God said, I'm the truth, I'm the way, I am, and if you follow my way, no matter what anybody else says, you will end up heavenward. Now, we want to end up heavenward in this new vision. Amen? I mean, y'all got it so far. Then he said this, I have come that they, that's us, might live a full and abundant life. Your view, that's what we're going to be about, living a full and abundant life. Everybody good? Now, I'm going to talk to you about a building today. But guess what? That building is only a tool to share the full and abundant life. Is everybody, give me a head nod or something. Don't give me the deer in the headlight look on that one, okay? Now, we're going to have to pray about this. How many of you all have grown up in a church or been around a church or been a part of a church that's built a building before? If you've been here, we've built buildings. I just want everybody to get on the same page when we get ready to build a building, okay? We don't care about the building. We already know that the building will not make the church. We know that you can have a big building and a lousy church. I won't call out any names, but it's possible. I have seen that verified all through the United States. Large complex, no spirit. Now, I would rather have what we've had for 16 years. Be full of spirit and out of room. We at Hillview have learned to sit on top of each other. We've learned to use stronger deodorant than we did previously, 10 years. You know, we've been smashed together. Here's the problem. We have a problem. We are totally, absolutely out of space for our children and youth program. We're out. Now, that's good news. Now, this brings me to the next scripture. Go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The generation that Pastor Shane and Pastor Eric and Pastor Beth Ann and the children's team that is working with is the deepest lost generation in America. Our children are not connected to Jesus Christ. Watch this. Sundays are being taken away from them at a rapid pace. I remember I was in a discussion with a Canadian brother of mine 15 years ago, and he was talking about how in Canada that on Sunday morning for their children's ministry, they fought all the sports events because all the peewee football games were played on Sunday, all the soccer games, everything was going on in Sunday. And I thought, man, I'm glad we still got Sunday sacred in America. 15 years later, I'm fighting the same thing in the United States of America in Bowling Green, Kentucky. We can't even pause on the Sabbath to make sure our children hear the gospel. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the world. Does that make sense? Talking to the world. Let me show you what a dead dream that is. One out of 360,000 people participate in athletics in their youth make it to the professional level. You'd be about as good to play the lottery. I think that's one in a trillion. Every child that does not meet Jesus Christ goes to hell. Fact. I don't care how educated they are. I don't care how accomplished they are. I don't care how many pieces of paper they've been honored with. I don't care how many crowns they've won. I don't care how many good citizenship awards they got in their elementary class. I don't care about all their achievements and their accomplishments. If they do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ at their last breath, they will perish and live in an everlasting hell. How many of you all understand that fact? That's not a theory. I'm telling you a fact. And that's why we're driven here. And we're not driven to preach hell. We're driven to preach heaven so nobody has to go to hell. See the difference? I hate hell. It stinks. It's real. And I know that we've worked hard to get rid of hell. It's not going to go away. It's in the text. It's in the Bible. It's a reality. Our kids need Jesus. Now guess what? Obviously, if our kids need Jesus, who else needs Jesus? Our adults. So that would lead me to the conclusion that people need Jesus. Amen? Black, red, yellow, white, combinations of there above, we all need Jesus. Amen? I want you to hear the heartbeat of this church. If a human being has breath, we want to hear them. We want them to hear about the gospel. Everybody cool with that? So watch this. We want to make sure the full and abundant life gets shared. Now this brings me to our reality. I want to give you one verse of scripture that we started this church with. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Philippians chapter 3. This is where we are today. Philippians chapter 3. Paul writes this rhythm, and I hope all of you are ready to embrace this rhythm. He says in verse 12, not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Jesus Christ took hold of me. I want you to know that the Apostle Paul, who was originally Saul, was well-educated, well-informed. He was brilliant. He was a navigator of his culture. He was politically connected. He was a man honored in society. He dropped all that to follow Jesus Christ. Now, for those of you that think religion is worth it, I will argue you to the day that I die, if religion, system, and tradition was where it was, Paul would have never converted. Because he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He did it better than even some of you think you're doing it. He didn't miss the letter of the law. And he found that religion by itself would never bring the full and abundant life that Jesus Christ had given. Remember the road to Damascus. He was blinded by the love, the power, and the grace and the mercy of God. It changed his life forever, and he writes these words. He said, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. March the 10th, 1991, the 20th century, I read that verse of scripture to this beautiful congregation. Most of you weren't here, but you were. I saw you before you got here. I stood up in front of 30 people, but I was going to preach to 3,000 right off the bat. So we preached and worshiped like 3,000 were here. And eventually 3,000 came. Now we got to preach to the city, in this county, in this region, in this nation. Ready to preach to the nation the good news of Jesus? Amen. Well, guess what we got to do? We got to forget what is behind us. And we got to start praying for what is ahead of us. God already has that great happening prepared. Now, watch this. We don't have to make it. We have to go get it. You see, Paul said, I'm not worried about it not being there. I'm going to take what? Hold of it. And so I'm going to ask you, have you taken hold of your responsibility in the kingdom of God? And let's just be honest. It's about time some of us take hold of it, isn't it? Here's some things, man. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, I want you to have this blessing in heaven. I hope that one person can come up to you at the gates of heaven and thank you for inviting them to be there. How many of y'all going to have somebody come up to you when you get to heaven and say, man, I appreciate the invitation. This has been great up here. How many of y'all going to go to heaven and there's not going to be one person there because you lived? Now, I think you're going to have a hard time answering God's question. What'd you do with my command? Well, Lord, see, there comes a day when the test is, watch this. I'm just going to be honest with you. What are you going to do with God when he asks you if you tithed? Said, in your lifetime, I gave you several millions of dollars. What did you do with those dollars? You lived in America. You made several million dollars in your lifetime. What did you do with them? He said, well, Pastor, do you think God expects a 10% tithe? Yes. Net or gross? Who cares? You figure it out. I don't ever ask that question. Somebody asked me all the time, do I need to tithe my net or my gross? I said, let me tell you what, God's a Lord and not an accountant. Go from there. It's real. How many of y'all found you can't cheat God? And He's not going to cheat you. How many of y'all got that good news in you? God's not going to cheat you. Now, Hillview, here's the truth. If every one of us in here tithed, we would build that building. Mr. Martins, I'm telling you the truth. If every one of us tithed, we would build that building in 6 months and have it paid for. Now, that's honest to God truth. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. We live in America. I'm just going to ask you to tithe. You and God got to deal with that. If you don't want to tithe, that's fine. But you're not going. Don't be looking at me on the day of judgment. I ain't standing for you. Don't be pointing. Well, Pastor Steve said, I said, Lord, I told him to tithe, and they said, forget you, God. They said, forget you, God. I got more important things to spend my provision on than your kingdom. If you want to know if your pastor's tithe, every one of them. Do you all think that I would hire a pastor that didn't tithe? Watch this. A pastor that doesn't tithe can't bless you because they got their blessings locked up. Our elder leadership, it tithes. Our BAM team leadership, it tithes. You say, well, how do you know, Pastor? Do you look at the figures? Watch this. I'm going to be real straight here. I don't know what any of you give. I don't care to know what any of you give. I've never looked at one person what they gave. You know why? I'd get mad. Because I know I got a hunch that those who run their mouth give about $5. And if I saw that to be fact, I'm just telling you, I'm too fleshly to treat them like God would want them to treat me. I'm serious. So if I don't see it, I just got to pretend I don't know about it. But you know what? I'm going to give you a big secret. I can tell by the way you live how you give. I can tell by the blessings that flow out of your life. I can tell by the influence that God gives you. I can tell by what kind of influence it is. It's not about amount. It is about heart unto God. Everybody cool with that? It's time that the church got straight about this. Now, we're going to go in a building program, and let me tell you some things I'm not going to do. First of all, I'm not going to preach on money every Sunday. You got it? I'm not going to do that. We've never done that for 16 years. I don't believe in that, and here's why. We have people that don't know Jesus that are coming to Hillview Heights Church. They don't need to hear about our building. They need to hear about our Lord. They need a total life change, not a money makeover. Got it? I'll leave money makeovers to Dave Ramsey. All right? That's what my buddy's doing down in Nashville. We're preaching the gospel. Make sense? Now watch this. You say, what if people don't give it? We'll meet on the roof. We'll stick them in a closet. If we don't give it, here's what happens. We limit what God wants to do. Everybody cool with that? I'm talking to you heart to heart. You all know how I talk to you. Okay? And I'm sorry if you've been in a church where the pastor's got to go up and, you know, give you a bunch of rah-rah to raise money. I just don't believe in that. Here's what I believe. If the Holy Spirit can't convict you, we're dead in the water from the start. So I don't believe we have to have Jerry Clower come in or Joel Osteen jump up and down and tell you about a better life. And we don't, you know, if we got to go through all that rigmarole, then what we need to do is not be building a building. We need to be in repentance because we hadn't connected to the gospel yet. Is that clear enough for everybody? If the gospel can't motivate you, you're not going to be motivated. Now, some things we got to get ready for. You ready? We got to forget what's behind. Now, we got to take the treasures from the past. But we got to have an attitude that says, God, we're willing to move into the future and do what you've called us to do. How many of y'all are ready to do that? All right. If I can use some bad grammar. This is bad grammar. I just want you to make aware. I know it's bad grammar. You've done good so far. And I want you to praise God for being faithful for 16 years. Go ahead and give Him an offering of praise. You need to praise God. I'm very positive this morning, so don't hear the sternness in my voice as being negative. Some of y'all misinterpret that because you just hadn't been around intense people, okay? Here's what I do all day. You need to know what I do 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. I make sure that people hear the gospel because if they don't hear the gospel, they die and go to hell, and that's really bad, okay? So the gospel's a real intense kind of thing. Okay, people that think the gospel's kind of like a sales pitch, you know, here's the contract. We have a condo for you at heaven. And if you join, everything's going to be happy and you're going to have this comfortable life. That's a false gospel. That's not true. That does not line up with Scripture. That doesn't even come close to Scripture. Lord, have mercy. Jones, where do they even get that when we got a cross? You know what I'm talking about? We got a cross and a beating. And we got these preachers all across America talking about this comfortable gospel. Lord have mercy. Where is it? I haven't found it. Maybe I'm reading the wrong book. The blessing is this. Are you willing to lay down your life so that somebody else's life might be connected to Jesus? Now I'm going to challenge you a little bit. Here's some things I believe God wants to see in His church. First of all, He's already got them going on. God is in the miracle working business, period. Here's the miracle. People can start in sin and end up in righteousness. Now He's also in other miracle business. God will heal you physically sometimes. And sometimes He doesn't. But He does it sometimes. Make sense? Now, obviously, He doesn't do it all the time because He said you're going to die one day. But He does it sometimes. God, that's exactly right. We don't always receive it. Sometimes God wants to heal us and we're so busy trying to heal ourselves we never get well. That's absolutely right. Emotional healing. God heals us emotionally. How many of y'all are emotionally more stable than you were before? Now, you got to get this vision. God wants us to bless children. Amen? Here's what He said, Gospel of Mark, Gospel of Luke. Let the little children come unto who? Me. Beth Ann gave me this part of the sermon. Jesus also said in the Gospel of Luke, He was talking about how good God is. And He said, how many of you fathers, if your children ask for bread, would hand them a stone? Well, now, what's the answer to that question? Please, you know the answer. Jesus is doing hyperbole. It's a rhetorical question Jesus asked. How many of you fathers, if your child asked for bread, you would hand them a rock? How many of y'all would do that? None. Okay, that's the point. Good. I'm glad y'all got that. Some of the fathers are saying, was it a pet rock or what kind? No. If they needed bread, you would give them what? Bread. Okay. Now, here's where we want to come to this vision. God has supplied for our needs, and He will supply for our needs. Everybody get this? Everybody get this? Here's what I want you to see. You've done well. We launched the Big Dream campaign 2.5 years ago. Isn't that correct, Jim? Here's what you've done so far. Mr. Martins is going to follow up on this. You ready? We paid off the existing debt. Hallelujah. I hate debt. How many of y'all hate debt? I hate it. I know sometimes we got to have it. Now, I understand the business dynamics, and I understand how that all flows. I understand, but that doesn't make me like it. All right? You know, my parents all my life told me spinach was good for me too, but I didn't like it. Number two, we've got this parking lot set up. Hadn't that been nicer to be able to get out of the church at least now in 15 minutes instead of 35 minutes? Okay, the parking lot's there. That helped grow the church. Some of you going, well, man, why didn't y'all, what happened to the new sanctuary idea? This looks like it works to me. What about y'all? This works. We had a comment from the church of Manson. How come y'all fixing up a sanctuary when we got to go in that building? We needed to get this place set up to where it would be functional so that when we build this new children's facility, guess what's going to happen in here when we build that? It's going to fill up. So we needed to get this done. This was the cheapest way to seat as many people so they could hear the gospel. Okay? We looked at the project to do a sanctuary and a children's facility. It was going to cost about, probably by the time you get the whole thing buttoned out and you do it right. We're going to do buildings right this time, okay? We're not going to build them till we can do them right. It's probably literally about a $17 million project. I'm ballparking it. I'm going to tell you right now, your staff, your business administration team, your deacon elders, and others in the church, teachers and stuff, that we are never going to put this church in a debt ratio where we have to preach money and not preach the gospel. Never. 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 Now, I just want you to know where we're coming from. You say, well, there's other pastors. I'm not the other pastor. I'm telling you what we're going to do. I don't care what they do. Praise God. God may have told them to do something else. Okay? And praise God. I hope everything works. We're all on the same team. I'm talking about here at Hillview. We do need a children and youth facility. God has granted us a group of architects that I think have laid out the plan among our leadership. We've been in prayer for 1.5 years. We've been in meetings. We've been in design. And we want to present to you today where we think God wants us to go for the future. Well, not where we think, where we know God wants us to go for the future. And we hope that you want to go there too. And I want you to hear what God's doing. I want to pray before we even see this video that we hear what God's saying. Amen? By the way, I'm just going to check up. What's the center post of this church, man? Good. Why are we even talking about building a building today? What do we want kids to do? Connect to Jesus. Why do we want them to connect to Jesus? We found that people that are converted and know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior have a harder time doing drugs. They have a harder time messing up their life because they got a full and abundant life. Everybody got that rhythm? I don't know about y'all, but I'm committed to that. Okay? How many of y'all committed to that? Let me let you in on a big secret. You don't have to go tear up your life for the first 20 years and then come to Jesus. That's not required. Guess what you can do? You can find Jesus from a young child and live out a whole faithful existence if you want to. That's possible. And what we want at Hillview is to encourage that possibility. And at the same time, we want to help people, if they have messed up, to come to Christ and start all over again and live a full and abundant life from that point out. Does this make sense? Is this where we are? Now, some of y'all are young and you go, well, where does this building affect me? I promise you, you'll be married and you'll have a kid before you know it. Is this going to affect the pastor? Some of them. Is it going to affect Pastor Ayers? Absolutely. My grandchildren may be in this facility. But gosh, I can't even believe I got to say that. 16 years later, we're looking at a facility for Elizabeth's grandchildren. She'll be a hip grandmama, won't she? See her walking around with her long blonde hair. Who's that? That's my granny. She'll still be dancing at 70. All right? For a lot of you, it's your great-grandchildren. Here's the facility. We're going to build a facility, and watch this. Here's our dream, and I think we've prayed this into it, and God's granted favor in it. We want to have a facility so that when we're all gone, and there's a whole new group of pastors and leaders and teachers and lovers of Jesus in this place, they can look around, and I hope they can say this about us. You know those folks that went before us? I'm glad they thought this through, because now we're living in the blessing that they set up. So church, guess what I'm going to ask you to do? To set up a blessing for the next generation. Is that cool? Lord, let us hear with your ears, let us respond with your heart, and let us know your possibility as we watch this dream. Amen. What do you think? What do you think, church? Does it look Hillview? If you notice the facility, it says one thing. We'll get her done. We'll get her done for the kids. I'm going to invite Jim Martins, who is the captain of our business team. And he is going to explain to you how we get this done. And that we're not as far off as we thought. And I know a lot of you have been asking me and other leaders in the church this question. When do we start? That's a great question. My response is this. I don't know. It depends on us. But Mr. Jim's going to come and he is going to show you what it's going to take to get us started. Will you all welcome Jim Martins to our platform?
Thank you, Pastor Steve. I'm so excited to be a part of this morning, and I'm so excited about our building project and to share the plan with you. Last fall, I was invited to be a part of the team to participate in the planning of this project, and I was privileged to serve. And first, we had to define what we wanted to do and when we could do it. We had to prioritize because, as you know, we have limited financial capability. And so that was an issue. And so it was determined that we build a children's and youth facility and that would be our next big step because our children are our future, aren't they, Miss Clacy? And we decided to put them first. Our business team had to come up with a financially responsible plan to make this happen. And so we had to come up with a plan that was balanced, that would solve two things. Get the building up as quickly as possible so we'd have the use of it. And secondly, be financially responsible where we would not overburden our church. And since that time, there's been a lot of prayer and planning and preparation that's gone into that. The building's going to be 44,000 square feet, as you saw in the video. To give you an idea of that, this building's 26,000 square feet. So it's about 1.7 times the square footage of this whole facility. Over an acre, $6.5 million. About three times the size of any project we've done to date. So it's a big challenge. We came up with that plan, and here's the plan. We've constructed a graph, and the top line, the yellow line, shows the total cost of the project. And by project, I'm talking about construction cost, I'm talking about furnishings, and I'm talking about equipment. That's the whole package. And if we were to break ground today, that cost would be right at $6 million. But we have not reached our goal. We have determined that we are not financially capable yet. But we have set a goal, and that goal is July of 2007, next July. The next line on the graph, the blue line, shows 40% of the top line. And what's magic about that, we have determined through our leadership, through our pastors, our deacons, and our deacon elders, that we will not overburden this church, as Pastor Steve said. We will never do that. And so 40% is our magic number. And our goal is to hit that by July 1st. And I'm going to show you later how to do that. But $2.6 million will be our goal, and we'll have to reach that by July 1st in order to break ground in July. The next line is our cash on hand. Currently, that's $700,000, and we have projected out on the green line, if we keep giving the way we've been giving in the last year, which is about $100,000 a month going to the dream, that to reach that blue line, to get 40%, it would take us into the fall of 2008. If we do that, two things will surely happen. Both of them are bad. One, as you can see by the yellow line, it will surely cost us more money. But in my opinion, more important than that, less children and youth will be reached. And we're already overcrowded, and it'll take over a year if we started today to get this facility up and running. So that's our challenge. Our goal is to break ground. Bobby Whitaker had a suggestion the other night that we have a groundbreaking party on 07 of 07 of 07. We thought that was a great idea. That happens to be on a Saturday, and we've already scheduled it. So put that on your calendar, and we're going to have a celebration and a groundbreaking that day. But first, we have to reach our goal. Our challenge from today on till the end of June is to get to $2.6 million. So we've got a $1.9 million gap. So that's our challenge. That's the when, and here's the how. During the 12 months that it's going to take to construct this project, we anticipate that we're going to save another 20%. And so when we take possession, when the project's complete, we'll have 60% of the project paid for. That'll only leave us $2.6 million in debt, and under current circumstance, we can pay that off in 3 years. So we feel that that's very manageable and is not going to put us in an undue debt. Here's the how. Here's how we're going to reach this and get that $1.9 million. As most of you recall, in July of 2004, we kicked off our Dream Campaign, a capital improvement campaign to do enhancements on our campus. And we've had to use components to do that. And since that time, we've had over 1,300 people that have participated in that. We took commitments, and over $6 million was committed. And over 1,300 givers have given almost $3 million to date. And as Pastor Steve said, we've invested the money in four places. One, our first plan was to attack our debt on our last build, which we did that. We knocked out $1.4 million. Next was the parking lot. That was about $700,000. We've knocked that out. We're spending about $300,000 in here in our sanctuary, but because we're going to be in here a little longer than we anticipated, so we wanted to make it the best we could. That leaves us with the $700,000 cash balance that we have today. So that's where the money has been invested. By my math, $6 million committed in a three-year program that ends on June 30th and $3 million given, we've still got $3 million in outstanding commitments. And I'd encourage you to consider and focus on fulfilling our commitment to God. As Pastor Steve preached back in 2004, that was not necessarily about a building program, that was about a commitment to God. So our goal is to get from $700,000, $2.6 million, $1.9 million in the next 8 months. 11 years ago, when Eva and I came here, we were over in the old sanctuary and we were jammed in there. And there was four services, and there was a lot going on, and a lot of lives are being changed. And this old boy was one of them. And there was excitement. There was a building plan going on, a building campaign, living the vision. And it was a big challenge for the congregation. And even I'd been spectators before, and we decided right away that we wanted to be a part of this. And so we made a commitment. I don't think we were taking commitments at that time, but we made a commitment to the Lord. And we were a part of this. And this project, the building we're in today, was that project. It was $1.8 million. It was bigger than they'd ever done before. And it was paid off 32 months after the building was complete. So it all worked out. People were faithful. This project is not about equal giving. It's about equal sacrifice. And every dollar that's given from today on in the Dream Campaign is going to move us one step closer. There's going to be some big gifts and there's going to be some little ones, but they all count. And God has blessed us all differently financially. And I don't believe that he judges us on the amount that we give, dollar-wise, but he judges us on how he blessed us and how we honor him. And so if we're faithful to our commitments, I believe that this is going to be reached without any problem. Members of our business team are going to be out in the atrium after this service, and if there's anything that I have confused you on or left out, or anything that's not clear, we'd be thrilled. We've got a complete set of building plans out there, and we'd love to show you. We'd be excited to show you what this is all about. And we'd be glad to talk to you about the finances. We'd be glad to talk to you about the dream. All you got to do is come out, and we'll be glad to discuss it with you. God has blessed this church in so many ways. So many people are being led to the Lord. We were in the top 20 in baptisms in the country last year. Imagine that, in the country, in this size community, a county of 100,000 people, we were 18th in the United States with 471 baptisms. A lot of those were children and young people, and that's a good thing. Our staff is doing such a wonderful job in leading so many people, but that causes another problem. We've got to have more facilities. And so I pray that each of you consider your commitment. We've got 8 months left between now and the end of June. Eva's always asking me, how are we coming on our commitment, honey? And I said, we're doing okay. And she said, now don't be late. She said, I don't know about how God sends late notices, but I don't think the postman would be bringing them. And so I urge you to commit to break it up into eight pieces, however you do yours, but fulfill your commitment and we'll reach that goal and we'll break ground in July. May God bless each gift and each giver, and may you continue to bless Hillview Heights Church and our building program. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Well, guys, let's stand together. How many of y'all get it today? How many of y'all got it today? Anybody hear from the Lord today? Make sense? Y'all are great. I still want to extend an invitation for anybody here. Maybe you were here and you go, man, this is one of those business meetings. This is the first one we've had in like 12 years. So it's about Jesus here. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus right now, we're going to pray and ask that you would ask Jesus into your life and you'd be forgiven and you would join the vision of this church. How many of you all like this building? That's what God wanted. Anybody? Come on, y'all hear me. Is that going to work? Is that going to work? I think it is. Let me let you all know something, too, because you may not have seen it in the drawing, but all the metal comes off this building, and it's Drive-It now, so it'll make it look a little nicer from the outside, too, so that people, one of the things we don't have going on in our building, the outside of the building doesn't look like anything like what goes on the inside in the building. So it needs just enough to say, hey, pull on in here and hear about Jesus. Amen? So that's all we're going with there. Two things today. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, that's absolutely the most important one, that you would come to know Jesus Christ. Secondly, I want to give you three things that's going to make this happen. From now into July, and I hope we just keep on doing that. Every altar call, I need people up here praying that we're going to do what God asks us to do. I'm a believer that things happen in prayer. Amen? And Hillview, I'm going to tell you what we're starting to do. I'm loving you, but just hear me. Let's not lose that Hillview that comes to the altar and asks God. Let's not lose that Hillview that comes to its seat and stands up in the midst of worship and says, you are a great God. You are my King. Let's never get lazy about doing the things of God. And so today I just want to open the altar up for prayer, for coming to Christ. If you've not made a commitment to that building thing, guess what? Just go out there and see those guys and say, hey, listen, I would like to make a commitment. All right? And you don't even have to make a pledge. Just put on your check. Building. We'll know what that is now, all right? Building. Secondly, I want to compliment y'all. You all have given really well to not see what was being built. That's pretty impressive. Now the dream's got a vision to it, and we just got to give and make it happen. Cool? Y'all really want to hear my heart? You see, we worship a great God. And I'm with at the plan that God has given Jim. That's plan B. If we really got faithful, we'd have cash on hand for the whole project. I'm serious. So I want to push you. That's the A game, but God's got a plan to get it done. If we really did that, let me show you the difference. Let me show you the difference. Can you imagine what would be heralded to this state? There's a church that got faithful and God paid it off before they got started. I don't know, but that sounds like a witness to me. These people are serious about what? Your kids. So we just want to live there. Cool deal? Thank you all for being very patient today. This is the altar. You ready? Lord Jesus, right now we pray if there's one soul in this place that needs to know you. Right now, Lord, I pray that they would say to you, here I am, Lord. I know I'm a sinner. I know I need to be connected to you, Jesus. I know you're everything. I know you're that center post they talked about this morning. Lord, I believe you died on the cross. You've risen from the grave. And right now I ask you into my life so that I may be connected to heaven forever. So, Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask right now that we would be faithful in prayer. We would be praiseworthy in worship. We would be diligent in our plans and our understanding. And we would, Father, truly want to declare to the nations that you are Lord and you are real and you're absolute and your salvation, your spirit, those things are absolute realities. And so, God, I'm asking now that you send the intercessors that need to make this happen. I'm asking now, Lord, that you send the visionaries that dream the dreams and encourage the people. Lord, right now I'm asking that you would inspire us as a congregation to step into the 21st century like we've never stepped in. Lord, I want to give you some praise right now. Hey, guys, y'all look up here. We're still in prayer. The praise of God. You know what? I praise God that he's given us the staff we have right now. Now, let me tell you something. I can go to war with every brother and sister we got on this staff. I can go to war with Pastor Angela. I've been to war with her before, and I tell you what, I want to go to war with her, not against her. Because she's coming with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I can go to war with Pastor Amy. I can go to war with Pastor Eric. You know why? See, I'm indebted to Pastor Eric. I look my son in the eye, and I see a man that's been exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks, Eric and Shane, both of you. You've had influence on my children personally. Thank you. Thank you. I can go to war with Pastor Jeff because he's up there in that university while they're here, and everything else he's saying, cross and resurrection, is still real. Pastor Jamie, he can preach. And he'll preach up a storm, and he believes people need to meet Jesus in a real way. Pastor Mark has organized this church, and I want you all to know something. What God has done through his life in the past 18 months has brought us to be able to present this today. He is one of the reasons we're right here doing this. Pastor Keith, he's going to sing and he's going to praise. We get in this thing together. I know we're past time and people are having to wait. We just have to wait. And then come on in here and pray with us. Let's get on this altar and ask God to do a great thing. And then when we get up off this altar, guess what we need to expect? From this moment on, the great thing has begun. And I want you to live in what he's done. Amen. All right, church, in the name of Jesus, this altar's open. Come, if you hadn't been baptized, come to be baptized today. Come on, altar's open. You ain't got to wait for a song to come. If the Spirit tells you to come, come. It ain't about singing. It's about coming and praying and loving. Come on, church. Let it happen today. Listen, if you're standing there, you may be the one holding it back. So come if God's telling you to come and let it happen. Come on. Amen.